Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today's episode is a bonus episode, meaning it's a bonus, as it sounds. It is an episode in addition to the normal episodes. I kind of feel like, for anyone that doesn't follow Premier League or football, like, this is going to be completely lost news, so apologies. But I always think of, like, this is how I feel about the FA Cup and the League Cup. Like, I've had this argument with Paul Dermody before, because I'm an Arsenal fan, he's a fucking Chelsea fan. But I've had this argument with him. I'm like, I hate the FA Cup, because the FA Cup takes away from Premier League games at the weekend. Whereas I love the League Cup, because that's more football in addition to my normal football. I was like, I get my Premier League on Saturday or Sunday, and I also get a League Cup on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. This is a bonus episode, so this is like the equivalent. The reason I wanted to pop it up as a bonus episode is that it's a little bit off-brand with this particular podcast, because I normally cover the fitness side, the mindset side of things, the health side of things, or I deconstruct an interviewee to determine what it is that they do and what makes them successful in their life. And I have a separate podcast for business. It's called the Brian Keane Business Podcast. I'll link that in the description as well, actually, for anyone that's in the fitness industry running your own business. Definitely go and check that out. I think there's about 30 episodes in there now. I can't remember how many, 26, 27 episodes, and I upload that every week. So I have a separate podcast completely for that, similar to my GA podcast, the Lean Body Podcast, which is all for GA content. And I try and keep business stuff and GA stuff to those two specific podcasts. But because this one was recorded and the sound quality is very, very good, and I don't generally get to do kind of interview or Q&A based questions on that business podcast, I'm putting it up as a bonus on this one, because I think it, for the firstly to explain why I'm doing this podcast episode in this format, if you're following my Instagram stories and my Instagram, this is one of the reasons why you definitely follow my Instagram stories, because like some random shit goes up there. That's literally how Darren and Lorna got on today's podcast, because I had booked Tall Tale Studio in Dublin for the day to record podcast interviews, and I had a couple of guests on, but one cancels on me last minute. So, you know, I got up at 5 a.m, I got a text message to say I can't make it today. So I'm like, fuck, I've got 2 hours of studio time completely free. And I put up on my Instagram story, I have 2 hours of studio time free. Anyone that wants to come in and ask me any questions, you can come and join me on the podcast today, and we'll just literally do a live Q&A back and forth. So that's how Darren and Lorna both got on today's podcast. So if you're not on my Instagram stories, be sure to turn on those notifications, because that's the kind of stuff I do where I'm like, right, let's figure out a plan B. And we ended up getting great content out of this, but it's kind of off-brand, as I said, with fitness and mindset. It's very much geared towards business, personal training, building an online platform, moving your business online, and in that realm. But there's so many quality questions from Darren and Lorna that I wanted to upload it onto this podcast just as a bonus. So by all means, if you're not a personal trainer, if you're not in the fitness industry and have no aspiration to ever work in the fitness industry, you could probably skip over this one, just because even though you'll see a lot of my philosophy and mindset come through with the business advice I offer, because how you do anything is how you do everything, and there's a lot of overlap with the way I live my life with how I run business and how I advise people to run their business. But this one is very, very specific to personal trainers, people working in the fitness industry, and people with online businesses, because we jump back and forth. There's some great questions from Darren and Lorna, so a massive thank you to both of them for coming on such short notice to the studio. So that's everything from today's episode. We're going to jump straight into this. It's a Q&A format, so hopefully I'll be able to link up some of the questions in the description, but very much geared towards fitness, personal training, etc. So hopefully you get loads of value from it. As I said, if you're not into business, you're not into working in the fitness industry, have no aspirations to do so, you probably won't get as much from this episode as the other ones. And if you are a personal trainer or working in the fitness industry, I highly recommend subscribing to my other podcast, the Brian Keane Business Podcast, as well. So I'll link that in the description. So without further ado, here's today's personal training business Q&A with Darren and Lorna. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today's episode is a very different format to normal, because I'm joined today by
Lorna and Darren, who are basically responded on my Instagram. And Darren, we've met because Darren's been at my business seminar, and we've had the fortune to just meet briefly below, and now we're going to chat more, Lorna. So massive thank you. And in the description or in the introduction, I spoke about this was a kind of a last minute job where we put it together because I had a cancellation and they both jumped straight on it and they're like, right, let's come in and ask some questions. So basically today's format is kind of a questions and answers. So Lauren and Darren both have a lot of questions they're going to fire at me. I don't know what any of these questions are in advance, as I don't ever prepare for anything when I'm being asked questions, to try and keep it fluid and natural. So before we get into that, would you like to introduce yourselves? Lauren, tell us where you're from, your background, and then Darren, you can go after.
Yeah, my name's Lauren and I'm based in North County Dublin. I'm a primary school teacher originally, and I went into kind of personal training and that on the side. But now I'm specialising in pregnancy and postpartum fitness.
Are you still teaching?
Yeah. So yeah. Last September I went job sharing, so I'm doing part-time.
Yeah. Very close, very similar journey. Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to help a lot today. Darren?
My name's Darren. I'm similar. I worked with children for years in the sports sector, coaching and stuff like that. And went to one of Brian's seminars in January. I think it was January or early in the year. Yep. Maybe further on.
It was the business seminar in
business
the Hilton.
Business seminar in the Hilton, yeah. So the next day, handed him a notice and decided to go full-time personal training. So I do personal training, group training, boot camps. We also do like work with special needs, like St. Michael's House and Prosper and kids class. And then we run like a heated studio as well. So we kind of have a big variety of class and stuff. So we kind of kept going looking to...
So today's episode, I have no idea what these questions are going to be out. Me and Darren talked very, very briefly just because Darren was on it. Like, I literally had the story up on who's free at 1 o'clock to come into Tall Tales Studio in Dublin. He's like, yeah, I'm free. Bring me in. And I'm like, oh, nice one. So a mixture of mindset, fitness, business, whatever you want, really. Macro, micro, selfish, unselfish, we're totally up to you. So just for everybody listening, I have no idea what's coming in advance. So if I have to take a few seconds to think about a question, that's why. So Lorna, do you want to go first? Whatever jumps to mind, any question you have, jump in. Or Darren, if you want to go first, totally up to you.
Well, I suppose what my thing is, at this point, I'm getting to the stage where I have certain mental classes running a week. And there's only so many hours in a week to trying to help people. And then I suppose I'm based in Dublin and I have maybe clients around the country that are kind of, or women asking questions about training and coaching, trying to help people that I can't actually physically be with. So that's kind of the next part of what I'm doing is, I suppose I'm running out of hours in the week to be physically present with people.
And have you done any online work with that?
Basic online stuff like WhatsApp kind of stuff back and forth, phone calls and things. But I suppose that takes an awful lot of time because you could be on the phone with someone for like an hour, half an hour to an hour.
And what's the kind of the dream obviously is to make the transition into doing this full time where this is your baby, your job sharing with primary school is more or less finished and this is, am I right in saying that?
Possibly down the line, but I suppose you have the primary school is kind of your... you know, your definite income. And I suppose I kind of feel like this is more of a passion. So when you kind of put that as your job, sometimes it can put too much pressure on you to enjoy it as much as you do.
Okay, so I'm going to come at this from a couple of angles and hopefully I'll be able to, because I know there's a lot of people listening to this podcast who are in a similar situation, either working as a personal trainer or working in their own business or doing their side hustle. And then there's others who are, you know, doing their own job and this won't apply as much to them. But I remember when I made the transition first, and just you mentioned something there that I want to point out. And I think we may have had this discussion in Dublin as well, Darren, that there's a little bit of a misconception that when you do your passion for your job, you're afraid it'll take away from the passion of for fitness. And that was probably the biggest misconception I had when I was working full time as a primary school teacher, because I thought that, and to be honest, it was a little bit of, in my case anyway, fear disguised as practicality, where I was afraid to make the jump and I told myself the story that if I work full-time in fitness, I will lose my love for fitness. And that was my escapism at the time. And for anybody listening, that's generally not what happens. It actually goes the other way completely. And I think you may have found this, Darren, when you made the switch in January, that when you put all of your effort and all of your energy into the thing that you're passionate about, it doesn't really feel like work. And a lot of people will say to me, where do you get time to do the podcast, to do the videos, to put all the content? I'm like, well, none of it really feels like work. I'm like, with the exception of emails, which I only do once or twice a week, I have people that cover my emails because I fucking hate email. everything I do, I would do for free. Everything I do, I love doing. And that never happened with teaching. That never happened for me with the job. As much as I enjoyed teaching and I liked it as a job, it was a job. I knew I was going to work at 8:30 and I knew I was finishing at 4:30. And to just kind of catch that misconception, because otherwise you're going to consistently prolong that fear of making the jump. And don't, you know, we had this discussion in January when you were considering making the jump, Darren. And to just be mindful of that. Mm-hmm. In terms then of scaling online, if I'm right in understanding and interpreting the question correctly, I would definitely consider some form of online program scaled variety, because you talked about getting on the phone with people and how that can eat a lot of time. And it can if you don't build systems. Like, the beauty of business, and one of the reasons I love people who work for themselves, self-employed, small entrepreneurs, personal trainers, is like, for the most part, you have control of your day for a large chunk of it. You have to set your own parameters, because if you don't, you'll fall into the normal set, working mornings, working evenings, not being able to switch off during the day, rinse and repeat Monday to Saturday with a Sunday off. That's generally what happens. Whereas when you go online, you have to set the parameters in place. So what I do in my programs that tends to help people quite a lot, it works both ways. It actually works two ways. When you have a set day or set, if your online program runs and you have check-ins on a Tuesday and a Thursday, you were able to be 100% on for Tuesdays and Thursdays during all your check-ins. And you make it very clear to your clients and you make it very clear to the people you're working with that these are the days that I'm checked in. These are the days that I will be checking my email, checking my WhatsApp. Outside of that, I can't guarantee I'll get back to you within the 24 hours. And you have to set those parameters up from the front end, because if you don't, you just kind of end up going on calls, going on WhatsApp, and it's 24/7.
Yeah.
And that's a real problem if you don't nip that early. And it does your clients a disservice as well, because if you get stressed out because you're constantly on email, constantly on WhatsApp, constantly on the phone, your service drops and your clients don't get the best results then. So I would build the systems in place. How you do that, you would need to kind of get into the nitty gritty, but just from the macro standpoint, I would keep very mindful of the fact that if you're designing something like that for online scale, where you're working with several clients at once, particularly because you're pre and postnatal, if I'm not mistaken, you're working with a niche market, which is already really good. You're then designing that, I have an online program, whether it's bespoke where you customize it to each person, or it's semi-scaled at a lower price. These are my check-in days. These are when I do it. You know, Paul Dermody is a great example. He's been on this podcast several times. When he moved to Barcelona first, he lives in Vietnam now. He runs his business online. He has his check-ins every evening on WhatsApp. So he runs them from like 10 p.m. to I think 12 a.m. because he's a night owl. And he just does his check-ins 2 hours every day and that's it. He's like, yeah, in Barcelona, I'm chilling on the beach during the day. And that's what works for him. He likes to be able to nip things early with people. So he does it every day. I would break it into two or three times a week where these are your days, but it's about reverse engineering the person then. So just keep that in mind going forward. And we can talk a little bit about that off air as well, because I might be able to help a little bit more with that. Mm-hmm. Darren?
My question would be more from putting my client's point of view. I train a lot of moms, 40-year-old women with 3 kids and stuff. So what would be your biggest piece of advice for women and men trying to get away from slimming world Weight Watchers to looking after nutrition, like maybe tracking calories, hitting their protein? What would be, just because their friends have done slim world and lost 6 stone, what would be your piece of advice? Because they're sick of hearing from me. So maybe from someone else, if they hear from them, what would be your advice?
Yeah, I love that question, because there's a lot of people who are probably new listeners to this podcast, particularly since I had Trisha Lewis on the podcast talking about losing 100 pounds the right way in a year. Trisha's transformation, amazing Instagram page. But a lot of her followers have came into the podcast. So if you're listening to the podcast off the back of that, you're familiar with this. It's your clientele, Slimming World, Juice Plus, etc. All these other companies, and not necessarily naming any company in particular that's bad, but the idea is that that's wrong. It's not the company's fault. It's the message that's wrong. It's the juice diet, bar diet, Slimming World, and too much focus on weight, etc. To be honest, a lot of that is I understand where it comes from. Like, you have to reverse engineer the person, and anybody that is addicted to the scales is addicted to the scales because it's instant feedback on how you're doing, good or bad. But it's not the best metric. Unless you're overweight and obese to begin with, the scale's not a very good metric for success. Like, the analogy I use is you should be tracking body fat, the difference between body fat and weight. Like, it's like using the amount of money you have in your bank account to
just to figure out if you're any good in bed. I'm like, they're two different things. Like, they're two different. You're using one unit of metric for success against something that's completely irrelevant to that. And that's what tracking weight versus losing body fat is. You're stepping on a scale to see if your weight has gone down when that's not what you're trying to do. Unless you're overweight or obese to begin with, you're trying to reduce body fat. You're trying to look leaner. You're trying to look better. You're trying to feel more energetic. What you need to do, either with clients or if you're that person listening now, you're like, yeah, I'm a bit addicted to the scales, is you need to change the unit of metric that you use by realizing that that's one, you, if you, the example I used to give my clients when I used to work one-to-one as a PT, and I used to get a lot of weight loss clients, people going, I want to lose weight, I want to lose weight, I want to lose weight. And the example I used to give them was, from the very first day they'd sign up, I'd go, right, what would you choose if I could say, right, you were 60 kilos now, and I could drop you to 45 kilos or 49 kilos, but you look the exact same. Your dresses fit the same, your clothes fit the same, everything fits the exact same, and you look the same. But the number on the scale says you're down 10 or 11 kilos. Or you stay 60 kilos, but you drop 3 dress sizes, and you look leaner, and you look fitter, and you look healthier. I was like, which would you pick? And they're like, oh, the second one. That's normally the question that gives the trigger. And I go, cool, that's what we're focusing on. And then every time they go to the weight scale, I'm going, hold on, you told me you wanted to look leaner. You told me you wanted to drop dress sizes. You told me you wanted to feel more confident and just feel a lot of it, you know, ask the question, why 3 times? You know, a lot of my females and guys as well, it's like they want to feel either confident or they want to feel sexy. If body composition is the goal, it's normally one of those two feelings that you want. You either want the internal feeling of feeling confident when you walk into the room, or you want the external gratification of somebody going, they look really good, they look really sexy, for whatever reason. And when you dig into that, you realize that chasing numbers on a scale doesn't map to that. So you're realigning expectations. And that works for if it's you now listening who's like, I'm addicted to the scales, but maybe I should be tracking something else, or for clients or any personal trainers working, because that's a common problem. And if your friends are getting results from Slimming World or getting results from different Juice Plus or whatever it is, fasting, fad diets, track the long game. Some people will get great results with those companies and doing those systems, but the probability is that the majority won't over the long term, because it's not very sustainable for most. Like, as someone that comes from the sports nutrition background, personal training background, and fitness background, you know the things that work. Calorie deficit, increase your protein, train, exercise, move more. These things that are like trial and tested and proven that work over and over again and are sustainable. All these other things, juice diets, bar diets, fad diets, consistently tracking your weight over and over again, trying to get a number to move on a scale on a daily basis, they're not sustainable. So if your friends are getting success, what I would ask yourself or your clients, okay, well, how good has their success been over the last 18 months? Like, that was, I remember that, I'll never forget this story. It's in my new book. It's the only like weight loss story in the book. But I remember I had one of my girls come to me, and she was 31, and she was overweight. She was about 3 stone overweight. If she lost 3.5 stone, she would have looked really, really good. But she was actually legitimately 3 stone overweight. So we did use the scale a little bit to track her initially. And I remember she came to me and she's like, right, this is how I eat. These are the diets I followed. I did the bar diets, I did the juice diets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, right, this is, if you're going working with me, this is what we're going to do. I was like, we're going to drop you into a slight deficit initially. We're going to build a training program around what you can stick to. We're going to start doing things bit by bit. She goes, well, I want to lose 3 stone, you know, in the next 3 weeks. I've got a wedding. And I was like, all right, cool. So I let her kind of go on and that. She's like, I've got a wedding. It's my sister's wedding. I've got a dress I want to fit into, but I need to lose about 3 stone. I'm like, right. So I let her get talked through all of that. And I'm like, well, to be honest, I was like, if you're going to lose 3 stone, she was like, how long do you think it will take working with you? And I was like, it depends on the person. I would say more like 3 to 6 months to keep it off. And she's like, oh, that's going to take so long. And I've used a line that I've used a million times since. And I'm like, well, the time is going to pass anyways. I was like, she told me, she was like, I've been doing all these diets and they work. I was like, they work. She goes, I lost a load of weight doing the juice diet. I'm like, but you're here sitting in front of me. I was like, so it didn't work. I was like, because if it worked, you wouldn't be here. And she's like, yeah, but I've been doing it on and off since I was 19. And I'm like, so it hasn't worked. I'm like, if you've been dieting half of your adult life, you're doing something wrong. I was like, that's a problem. I was like, you need to get something more sustainable in place. And normally it's the wording and the education with the person and just making them see it. Like, you have to remember, when you're being bombarded with either people who have transformations before and afters from bar diets, from juice diets, yeah, you're going to get a fucking great result if you eat no food. Like, if you eat 600 calories for 12 weeks, you're going to lose a load of weight, but you'll put it all back on again. And when you're bombarded with that message, it reinforces the idea that this works. And the problem with bar diets and juice diets and all these other companies is they work. If they didn't work, they would have died a long time ago. They do work. They just don't work long term. They just aren't sustainable long term. That therein lies the problem. And once you're able to get somebody to shift their mindset from this is the way to do it to there's another way over here, this is the actual way that works better, that's normally when you kind of set them up for the first road of success. So hopefully, does that make sense?
That's great. Thanks for bringing it.
All right.
Yeah, so for me, with my clients, because it's pre and postnatal, they're only with me for a certain amount of time. So through their pregnancy, and then they come back after having the baby. And then the goal is to get them going back to their own gym and their own sport. So I want them to leave eventually. But it kind of means then you're kind of trying to get new clients, spread the word, especially when you're just starting off. So I am quite busy at the moment, but it is kind of every 6 or 8 weeks you're kind of looking for new clients to come in. So I suppose I'm kind of wondering what's the best way of getting your reach out there.
Social media.
Yeah.
Social media. Like, that's super. When you have the second hardest job done, which is identifying who you're speaking to. You know who the market is, pre and postnatal. The actual hardest part is just being consistent with that message across platforms. Like, the reason social media is so powerful is that one, geographically you're not limited, but two, you can get your message across on a platform that you're good on. So if you're good on at speaking, you go podcast route. If you're good on video, you go videos. If you're able to write, you blog. And then you use the platforms and direct people to that. If you're good at all three, do all three. That's always the best option. But that's being consistent with the message on this is who I'm speaking to. And you're just, all you're doing is creating content to show that you're, like, all social media, all marketing is, for the most part, is bridging the gap between you have a pain point, you have a problem, I'm the person that can help that. And your marketing, your social media content is just consistently bridging that gap. That's all you're doing. And you just rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Every time you put up a video on this nutritional strategy or this training program or this supplement, you're bridging that gap between this is your pain point, I know what your pain point is, here's something that might help it. And you're just building up that trust equity to the point where somebody's like, do you know what, I'm actually going to pay Lauren and now I think she's the best person to help me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you build a business. And you just rinse and repeat that. You know, that's the key. Social media is, I'm biased because the attention is so highly concentrated on three or four platforms at the minute. You know, Instagram, podcast to a degree, even though podcast hasn't quite exploded to the point that it probably will in 18 months. Facebook, even though it's moving away from there now, it's concentrated. The concentrated attention, and all you can do is put out content that, because it just leads. You know, I spoke on a business podcast about, you know, your leads and then your conversions to your service to your testimonies, and then you rinse and repeat. That's all business is. Where are your leads coming from? The people that are inquiring about your service. How many of those people are you converting to paying clients? Then what's your service like as an actual practitioner? And then you're getting referrals and testimonies off those people, and then they're bringing in more leads. You just rinse and repeat that over and over again.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Another one for my clients. Which trainers and coaches or nutritionists would you recommend people to follow on Instagram or Facebook, like for like weight loss, for training, for?
I'm not going to name any specific person, but what I will say to look out for is somebody who isn't dogmatic on a single approach. So as opposed to saying, go follow this person, that girl, this guy, they're amazing, because there's amazing people out there. That's subjective, but there's amazing people out there putting out great content. Look for people who, and this is a metric I use myself, who can argue the opposite sides. Because anyone that says you should all be vegan, you should all do bodybuilding, you should all do CrossFit, you should all be ultra runners, you should all be paleo, they're the people I would probably stay away from, because not only are they definitely trying to sell you something, because it makes a lot more sense to have a single message and then just bombard people with that message because it's easier, you generally are not going to find your best fit that way either. So who you're following, because remember, who you follow on social media is going to condition the way you see things. Your nutrition knowledge, your business knowledge, your whatever it is. Like who you follow, you know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, something I've said on this podcast several times. And that goes in the digital world as well. So if you're consuming somebody who's very dogmatic on their thinking, some of that residue is going to rub off on you. So when you're auditing who you're following, firstly, I would generally offer the advice of find someone who's not extremely dogmatic on one point of view. That goes across the board for everything. And then second, audit it on, is this person helping me? Is this person providing me value? Is this person serving me? And it generally falls into different, like when I did the business seminars, I spoke about this briefly in the Dublin one, possibly the Galway one, where people on social media are doing one of three things. They're educating, they're entertaining, or they're escapism. It's one of those three things. And the people you follow, you have to be able to put them into one of those brackets. The best people will cross it over. You know, like the people like James Smith's a great example of education mixed with entertainment. You know, he'll tell you about a calorie deficit, but he'll tell you with weed and hookers on how it works. You know, so he's mixing the two. Gary Vaynerchuk does something very similar in business where he's telling you about providing value, but he's wrapping it up in stories and telling you, you know, sort your fucking shit out. Like it's in an entertaining way. But audit who you're following. If you're randomly following people and they're not consistently providing you with value, then just unfollow them. You know, like that's the key. And realize that that's important. Like sometimes it's more important who you don't follow than who you do follow. Because if you're following the wrong people, that's going to have more of a negative impact than the positive people that you follow. Like it's via negativa. It's a happiness by subtraction. Like, you know, you're taking away the amount of people you're following. You're taking away the amount of friends you have. You're taking away the amount of things you're doing to make your life better. You know, that's easier than via positiva, which is the opposite, where you constantly add. You know, I think if you do that with social media, it's a pretty successful way, regardless of who it is you follow.
Who do you think helped mostly in your business? Say, for instance, at the moment I'm doing my admin, I'm doing my emails, doing my everything, have your accountant, but like who can help outside of that, maybe marketing wise, website wise or something?
People.
Yeah.
So my philosophy when it comes to business is I only do the things I want to do. I'm in a very fortunate position where I probably have enough authority, enough brand, enough revenue where I kind of just pick what I want to do and I don't do anything I don't want to do. So I don't do any of my website work. I don't do any of my lead magnet design. I don't do any of my podcast or video editing. I don't do very little of my emails because I don't like them. I don't want to do them. Don't know how to do them, some of them, and I just don't want to do them on others. At the beginning, there's a really good book. I've forgotten the author's name. I think it's Paul Jarvis. And it's something along the lines of one man entrepreneur or solo entrepreneur. It's a one man company, it's called. That speaks a lot about when you're at the beginning, you're doing it all yourself. And then as you get more successful, you expand out and you hire more people. What I would generally advise there is unless you're in the fortunate position where you have enough revenue to hire other people, you'll have to do it all yourself. And then as you get better, you find people. Like I use Patrick Hadlin, whose CityWeb is the name of his company. I've recommended him thousands of times to people because he's amazing. He does all my website work. He does all my design. And I always recommend them to people because I'm like, I trust him. Like I'm happy to put my name to him. I'm like, because he looks after people and he's really good at what he does. You know, Tommy edits my podcasts and my videos. He's big beast, InfoWeb, big beast. And these are people that I work with and they help me. They may not be the best fit for you. You have to kind of experiment. A lot of it is networking with other people. Yeah. The more shit you do, the more people you'll meet. Like I've had loads of people come to me and be like, I want to shoot some videos with you. I want to do this or that with you. And then you can test it and see. You know, I ran through 3 or 4 videographers before I found Tommy. And you're experimenting and trialing different people. At the beginning, you have to do it yourself. You have to educate yourself on where you're short. Because if you have the resources to hire somebody, what I would generally advise is you pump that money into seminars, pump that money into masterminds, pump that money into mentorships, get somebody to tell you exactly what you need to do as opposed to the trial and error approach of hiring somebody, seeing what they're like, and then you're draining funds that way. It's kind of like a shotgun approach. You're kind of hoping that person's a good fit for your marketing. Can they educate you? Or you do it yourself. You read the right books, follow the right podcasts, and it gets easier. Like business is very difficult in the beginning. And this is quite I'm going to put this up as a bonus business podcast, I think, on the Brian Keane podcast. So like this one's going to be like personal trainers, like highlighted in the thing, in the description. But that's what happens at the beginning. And then as you grow and as you start generating, when I say grow, I mean revenue wise, not size wise. When you grow, you just hire other people to do the things you don't want to do. Like I did everything myself in the beginning for the first 3 years, 4 years. Now I don't do anything. Now I only do the things I want to do. I do my podcast. I reply to all my DMs that I come in on Instagram. I do all these things that I want to do, but I don't touch email once a week, twice a week, because I fucking hate email. And you get to that point where you have that luxury. So that's what I would do in the beginning. And then as you expand up, you'll meet people who are able to do it. And again, I'll link you up with Patrick, Tommy, those people. Mm. Like they're amazing. I can highly recommend them as well. But there's other versions of them, maybe closer to home, etc., that you can use.
Just to be more from a trainer point of view, I'm doing a nutrition course with like a really highly educated fella out of England. And then I'm doing a few seminars over here, like with another massive gym, probably the top gym in the country. They have conflicting information on like massive things like fast and energy drinks, calories, different kind of bits and pieces. What would be your advice then? Like, do you pick one to follow? Do you trial and error both? What would be your biggest thing if you know these two people are possibly the most respected in England, the most respected in Ireland, with way more education than I do or people around it do? What would be your advice?
Two approaches, depending on where your knowledge standing point is, or starting point is. If you are relatively well educated in the conflicting views, i.e. fasting, training a certain way, etc., and you're like, yeah, I have a baseline understanding on all of those, both, because like the sign of an educated mind is the ability to entertain a thought without accepting it. You know, it's one of my favorite quotes by Aristotle. Like, you don't have to adopt those opinions on fasting. You don't have to adopt those opinions on training, but you can entertain the ideas and take the best of them. Like, that's the normally the best way to grow as a trainer, particularly in fitness and personal training. Like, the reason, maybe I'm taking some liberty on this, but I think one of the reasons that people follow, say, my Instagram stories, my Instagram content, podcast, is I'm like, well, here's the pros and cons to both. I'm like, it's not that vegan is better than paleo. It's not that bodybuilding is better than CrossFit. It's not that ultra running is better than triathlon. It's like, here are the pros and cons to both. Let's see what works best for you. And when you have two people with conflicting evidence or conflicting ideas or ideologies, if you have a good baseline knowledge going in where you're like, I think that's right, but a little bit more evidence would make me think more about it. On the flip side, which actually might provide more value on this, is if you don't know a topic going in, I would guard where you consume the information from massively. Like, if you go in and you're like, I don't know what's the best training style, I don't know the best diet. I use this example with like investing for, you know, the example I've used in the past is when I would start learning about things like investing or things like real estate, which is probably the one that can really hammer this down because I've lived it. I would have to guard where all the advice was coming from except for two or three people because I didn't know what was right and wrong. I didn't have enough knowledge or enough baseline information to know was that piece of advice good or bad. I didn't know. So I would guard my knowledge. That's the advice I generally offer people across the board with business, with fitness, with nutrition, with training, is if you're beginning and you don't know what's good or bad advice right now, that's where you'll get confused. You only get confused when you don't have enough. Like, I can talk to someone that's a vegan, that's a vegan advocate, or someone that's a bodybuilding fiend that's like, this is the best training program, everyone should do it. And I can entertain why they think it that way. And I'm like, yeah, that's really applicable to you and the people you're speaking to, but it's not applicable to Sally, or it's not applicable to John. I can do that because I have enough information on nutrition and training to realize that, yeah, that's really good. And I understand your argument completely, but there's a whole subsection of people who that's not applicable for. And having been in fitness for so long, I can draw that contrast point. Whereas if I was new to fitness, you don't know what's good or bad. And you tend to attach to the thing that makes the most sense. You tend to attach to the one that has the best story. You tend to attach to the one that you're like, yeah, that makes sense to me. And what makes sense isn't always what's right. You know, like religion's a great example of that. Like, what makes sense isn't necessarily where, and I'm not religious either side, but when I talk to some of my highly religious friends, they're like, yeah, but so-and-so, Jesus did this and that and the other. And I'm like, you're attached to the story. I'm like, yeah, maybe you're right. I was like, I get that that's your belief system, but you're so attached to the story because the story's so well told and it makes sense. Yeah, that probably did happen. Maybe that did happen. And that's what you have to guard against. That's just guarding your thinking going into something. And I think as a trainer, the best trainers, the best coaches, the best people that get results, their clients are able to do that because they're constantly self-educating, but they're looking from opposite approaches. You know, I had somebody, I put up a screenshot of, I go on book binges where I'll buy loads of books. You know, I'll go into a bookshop and I'll buy 10 or 12 books. And I had one that was Too Big to Fail, which is a book on a high-end capitalism on leveraging when the 2008 economic crisis. And the other was Marxism on Karl Marx. It was the Communist Manifesto. And they're, what the fuck are you reading that Communist Manifesto for? Why have you got that? I'm like, hold on. I was like, the two extreme arguments is normally the best way to consume the information. I love speaking to carnivore advocates and vegan advocates because they're so far on the opposite end of the spectrum. I love speaking to CrossFitters and I love speaking to bodybuilders because a lot of them hate each other because they think that their training styles are shit. And I'm like, cool, talk to the two ends of the extreme, but you can only do that when you have enough knowledge to identify what's good and what's bad information. So what I would advise there is if you feel confident in what you have training-wise, nutrition-wise, with your knowledge, now both, consume both, go to both. The more seminars you go to, the more conferences you go to, the more ideas you hear, the better you'll be after a certain point. But in the beginning, you guard that information so that you're taking the right information into your head, so you're not making bad decisions and you're not becoming ideological. Like, it being ideological on anything's a terrible idea. Like, it's a fucking surefire sign for misery. Like, if you're ideological on your religious belief, ideological on your business belief, ideological on your training and nutrition belief, like, there's no talking to you then. Like, and all a belief is an opinion that's been reinforced over and over again. Like, and then it's dangerous. And like, if a belief is constantly reinforced, it becomes an ideology, and then you're just a prick to talk to. Like, so that's what I would do on that.
Cool. So, so what I've been doing for the past year and a half, 2 years with the pre and postnatal is putting up education posts or as much information as I can to kind of raise awareness on women's health and pelvic health physios. And I have been doing different qualifications and constant.
I don't know if anyone can hear the ice in the background.
Yeah. Courses and different seminars and learning loads. But where do you kind of limit how much you're putting out? Whereas you're, you know, I suppose what I'm putting out, I'm getting back in clients because something I might say or put up.
Unlimited.
Yeah.
You cannot put out too much information that helps people. You can't. Now, this is kind of a belief system that I have with business because, one, I think it's the right thing. You know, like, doing the right thing is always the right thing. I think it's the right thing to put the message out. But two, it makes sense from a business standpoint. Mm. Like, I couldn't get over, and I spoke about this in my business seminar, that the more content I put out, the more revenue I made. And I put out all my shit for free. Like, it's all out there. Like, you listen to my business podcast, I'm putting everything I do out there. You listen to my fitness podcast or fitness information, it's all there. Now, the only thing is it's not specific to you because it's impossible to specify unless you know the business or unless you know the person's background for fitness, etc. But the information is there, you can put it together. And it's ironic because it speaks to what I said to earlier about you're bridging that gap and you're doing that over and over again. I would put out as much content as you think you can, because one of the mistakes a lot of trainers make, particularly with the online presence, is they're like, well, if I put it all out for free, people aren't going to pay for it. It works in complete reverse. It's actually amazing how much it works in the opposite side of that to what you think. Like, I've had people on my masterminds, the same thing. They're like, I'm getting so many more leads from putting out all the content for free. I'm like, yeah, I know, because that's how it works. Because you're building up the trust. You have to remember that there's so much information out there, and the information is out there. People aren't buying the information, they're buying you. They're buying the person. And if you can help them and you've minimized their thoughts on, I don't want to spend the money because I don't think they're the right fit. The more content you put out minimizes that gap. It shortens that gap. And people are buying into you. People buy from who they like, know, and trust. I hammered this home to you the day of the seminar. Like, people buy from who they like, know, and trust. And doing that is by putting out consistent content. Also, you should split people for the most part. Like, some people should hate you. You know, that's just, it's the nature of the beast. And you have to get better at handling that. You know, like, I have the same thing happen to me all the time. People are like, oh, he's a fucking cunt, I hate him. I'm like, all right, cool. I was like, that's none of my business. Like, you know, and that's just what happens. It will split people. The only thing I'll say on that is I never have a problem somebody disliking me when it's either disliking me because they don't like the way I come across, because generally that person doesn't know me, or they've misinterpreted what I've said. And that I normally have a problem with, because if somebody attacks something I've said and they're right, I'm like, fuck, I wasn't clear enough on that. That's not what I meant. That's the only time when a negative comment annoys me, and I turn it back on me, because I'm like, you interpreted that wrong. I wasn't clear enough. And that always bothers me, but that's an opportunity to learn. Like, you know, next time then that you put it out. I remember, I'll never forget this piece of content. I put out an Instagram story on one of my 10 question Q&As. It was a GA player. And somebody asked me, do you think Olympic lifts are overrated for GA players? And my response was, yeah, I think they're massively overrated. I think they're great exercises, but they take so long to execute and do correctly that there's other things that you can do that are going to be more beneficial in the meantime. And some guy went fucking mental on DM. Like, this was like a three-parter, you know, where you've ran out of room and you've had to write three messages going, Olympic lifts are amazing, this is the science beside it. And I'm like, I agree with you. I was like 100%. I was like, if you can perfectly execute them, I think they're the best thing you can do. And I remember two things at that point. One, some people are, you know, it's teaching a pig to fly, you know, because this guy, I replied, my literal reply was, yeah, you're right. I was like, I agree with you 100%. I was like, if you can execute them perfectly, you're right. And then he went off and went through me again. And I'm like, I agree with you. I was like, you're right. And then I was like, some people are just looking for an argument. So I'm like teaching a pig to fly. I literally wrote back and go, cool, I agree with you, I'm not replying anymore. And I remember that you're teaching a pig to fly, two things happen. You don't teach the pig to fly and you just piss off the pig. And you need to learn when you're talking to a pig. And so I just kind of disconnected from that. But I remember also thinking, I wasn't clear enough in my argument. I was like, I should make it clearer that I'm a fan. It's just that I need to really highlight the fact that I don't think it's worth the time and effort to perfect it. But if you can, you should. And it gave me feedback on where I can be clearer going forward. So understand that the negativity is going to come, and it's how you interpret it is what's going to help you. And that a lot of the lack of content comes down from either a fear of what people will say, mixed with, if I give it too much, will people bother paying me? The answer to the second one, will people bother paying you, is yes, they will. Like, I put out, all my workouts are on my Instagram wall. I literally post all of my workouts. And I put nutrition up. I talk about it on these podcasts. My GEA, I've got in my GEA groups, I've got all workouts on there. And yet I've got countless people coming through the programs a month, because it's building that trust with them. And they want the specificity. The business podcast is the same. It's all out there, but people still come to the seminars, still come to the full-day consultations, still come to the masterminds, because it's specificity. It's like, well, here's how it's applicable, and here's what you should do versus why you shouldn't do this. Even though this is the macro thesis, you should actually do something different. Mm-hmm. So my advice would be, put out as much as you can.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer personally? Teaching people along the way of their fitness journey and getting amazing results, or teaching personal trainers to evolve their business? Do you get more satisfaction from looking after clients or looking after trainers helping more clients?
It's funny, it's a weird one, because it's about 50-50 is a cop out, but I'm going to explain why it's 50-50. The way, when anyone messages me about a mindset shift, or somebody messages me that I'm working with on a fitness program, or somebody messages me about the building their business, they all, as long as I'm helping, the feeling is very similar that I get back. And that could be somebody dropping weight, building muscle, improving their business, generating more revenue, fixing their mindset, getting a new job, jumping into their passion, whatever that is. The feedback is very similar, because it makes you feel similar because you're helping. So it's impossible to kind of differentiate, because they give me similar feelings. The only thing I'll say, and one of the reasons that I've gone down into the business route, is because macro-wise, I can help more people when I help personal trainers, particularly fitness instructors and personal trainers in the fitness industry. Because when you work, and I did the math on this. This is so fucking geeky, but this is what I literally did. Because my whole macro thesis is like, well, cool, how can I help more people? How can I make the world a little bit better because I was here? And that's why I put out so much content on it. I'm like, cool, here are the programs. You can buy them if you want. Here are the seminars. You can buy them if you want, but here's the content for free. Like, that's literally what I put out. And when I'm working with, say, my BKF online program, that's 50 people every 6 weeks or however often I can run it. But when I work with a personal trainer, and say I've got 20 personal trainers at a business seminar, and then I've got another 6 or 7 in a mastermind, they all have 10 or 20 clients. That's a way bigger amount of people you're helping. Because if you can rewire your personal trainers and get their mindset right to help their clients hit their goals, you help more people. And there's a quote that I heard it about 7 years ago and it never left me. And I think it's a Gandhi quote, but I'm probably mistaken who spoke it. But it's like, you'd be amazed at how you could change the world if you didn't care who got the credit. And that's what I think about when I think about helping personal trainers. I'm like, if you're trying to help people with their weight, with their confidence, with their body composition, with their mindset, I'm like, yeah, you can help them directly, but you can also help the people that help them. And you could probably help more people that way. That's literally the reason. I don't need the money from the business side of things. I have fitness programs, book royalty. I don't need it. Like, I'm in the most grateful and fortunate position. It's down to, and I don't do things, as I spoke about earlier, I don't do fucking job tasks that I don't like doing. I also don't work with people I don't want to work with. That's why I'm always telling people to not do this or not do that if I don't think I'm the right fit for somebody. Like, I will get as many inquiries about a seminar or business consultation. I'm like, you don't need me yet. You know, someone messaged me like 2 days ago for a consultation. They were like, do you think I should come? My consultation is 1,200 quid for the day. I was like, they're like, I'm just starting my journey. I was like, you don't need me yet. I was like, you need to go and read this book, that book, and the other. You need to start putting out content. You need to start getting clients. And then I was like, come back to me in 18 months if you're stuck, and we'll see. I was like, you don't need me yet. Like, that, sometimes as a trainer and as a business owner, you need to be able to, it's via negativa again, like, be very clear on who you can help and who you can't. Help the people you can help and tell the other people not to. Same as my programs. When people message me about, can I do, you know, will you help me with triathlon? I'm like, nope. I was like, I'm not your best fit. I'm definitely not your best fit. The same way as if someone's like, I want to send you my weight every 3 days. I'm like, not your best fit. You know, I had some girl send me a photo last week to come through my GA program, and she sent me like these 4 photos of models. She was like, I want to look like that. And I was like, I can't do that. I was like, I don't even know what your starting point is. I was like, but this is where your mindset is at. I was like, I can't help you. You know, I was like, I'm not your best fit. I was like, I can't make you look like a model, like that person you sent me. You know, I was like, I'm not. I'm like, I'm telling you right now that if you come to the program, you're going to be dissatisfied. She goes, well, other trainers have told me they can. I was like, well, work with them and you'll see what happens. Like, I was really nice about it. I was like, when you come back in 6-8 weeks and you've worked with trainers and you aren't happy, I was like, I'll help you find a coach. I was like, but my program isn't the best fit for you. I was like, because I'm not going to be able to make you look like that. And that's just as important of who you do work with. And it's funny because as trainers, particularly in the beginning, we find it hard to say no to people because it feels like you're turning away money. And that's not a great position to be in and a great mindset to have, but that's what it feels like. You feel like you're turning away money. And it's ironic because when you take on the wrong clients, I talked about this at the business seminar about sacking certain people, certain clients, that when you take on the wrong clients, you get this negative compound effect where they don't get the results because either you aren't right fit or they were having the right mindset or whatever it is, and then they badmouth you or else they don't get results, and then that's what's reflecting on you. The reverse happens when you have the right clients who have adopted to your philosophy, that are listening to what you're saying, and you're able to help them. They get results and they tell more people, and then that's what compounds. Same thing with business, who I work with in the business side. Like, people I can't help, I don't work with. From a selfish and a selfless standpoint, selflessly, I'm like, I'm not your best fit or you don't need me right now, which is honest advice. But selfishly, I'm like, you're not going to get good results. You know, I had one young lad message about my mastermind. He was like a 21-year-old kid. He was like, right, I've just started. He goes, I want to go to 6 figures in the next 6 months. I'm like, you're probably not going to. And I said, I'm not your best fit. He was like, but other trainers have told me that you can. Other coaches have told me that you can. I'm like, go work with them and see how it goes. Same thing. It's the equivalent. We have the fitness equivalent. Like, it's so funny. We, as personal trainers, take the piss out of, I say not take the piss isn't the right word, have such a negative association with Slimming World and all these calorie trackers, you know, the Weight Watcher groups, etc. You're like, well, we know it's not the best. And we're like, it's the short-term fix. Yet, when it comes to what mastermind we sign up to, or what business seminar we go to, or what coach we follow, we're going for the person that's like, you'll make 6 figures in 3 months, do this, this, and the other. And it's the same thing. You're literally doing the business equivalent of that. You know, how do I get my social media up 20,000 followers in the next 3 weeks? Same thing. the exact same. There is no silver answer. It's be consistent with what you're doing and what your message is. And whoever you connect with from a business standpoint, like that's why you're going to connect with different people. It's important who you follow, but the people you invest in and the people that you're like, yeah, I love, like there's great people, you know, Phil Graham does a lot of stuff. I've heard good things on Mark Coles. There's loads of people who are doing really good things. And some people love their message. I'm like, cool, you should invest with those people. You know, I'll have people who have the equivalent with me that are like, yeah, I bought into Brian's message. And then they are the people that invest with me. It doesn't matter who you invest with. It's whoever you connect with most that isn't selling you the short-term fix, because there is no fucking short-term fix. The next time someone tells you you can do this with your social media in 6 months or this with your business in 6 months, that's completely like, sounds too good to be true. It probably isn't. Just think of your clients that are like, how do I lose 3 stone in 3 weeks? It's the same fucking thing, you know? So when you adopt that philosophy and realize that it's the same thing, just in a different realm, it makes it a lot easier making decisions on who you work with going forward. So that's a long-winded way of saying that I like working with everybody.
How often should you post on Instagram, do you think, out of your own experience?
Ideally, every day. And I would say several times a day, because when the algorithm works against you several times a day, like, if I can get 3 posts up a day, I'm happy with that in an ideal world, because people don't see it with the algorithm change. But the truth is, it's about the quality. The example I use for social media posting, because people always ask me, what's the best time of day to post on Instagram? That's a really common one. Mm-hmm. I get asked that at every seminar. And I'm like, okay, put it this way. Somebody comes and knocks on your door. I think I might have given you this example at the seminar. Somebody comes and knocks on your door at 4 a.m. with a shovel. And they go, there's fucking €1 million buried in your backyard. And you believe them, and you're like, yeah, and there legitimately is. You don't give a fuck that it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You're like, awesome. Whereas if somebody comes to you that tries to sell you some fucking shit that you don't want at 6 p.m. peak time, you're like, get the fuck out of here. You don't even want to open the door to them. That's what posting is on social media. It's the exact same. It's the quality of what's going up there. And the more quality you can put up, the better. I wouldn't post for the sake of posting, but if you can do 1 to 3 pieces of meaningful content every day, that's going to be beneficial. That's why I do the 10 question Q&As. I'm like, that's a decent amount on stories, you know, because you could go, I could do 50. I could, but I'm like, 10's kind of a sweet spot. So you kind of have to experiment with what gets traction, what's working, but as often as you can. What I will say is consistency is better than intensity. You're better to have 1 post every day for a year than 7 posts one day, nothing the next day, which is what people do as well. I'm like, even if you batch produce your content, have something going up every day or every second day, as opposed to loads for a week. That's something that I follow up on people after the business seminar. You were good at this, so it was fine. You got away with it, Darren. Where people are like fucking hell for leather on social media and posting the week after my seminar, and then it drops off. I'm like, hold on now. I was like, motivation's high for a week. You need to keep that going. I'm like, because you don't see the goal at the end of the rainbow unless you're consistently doing it. So yeah, that's what I would do for sure.
If you're looking to work with, like, I've kind of nearly maxed out on my offline clients, like clients face-to-face. I'm not saying I want to move the whole business online, but what's the best way of working with more than one at a time? Like, I'm not really, like, Facebook used to be great. We could put a group together, put some videos in, but half the clients I'm taking on now to Instagram aren't even on Facebook anymore. So kind of like a younger generation nearly. So if I want to kind of like a broad message, like maybe give them that 8 videos, like how to set up, how to find your calories, how to track your protein, how to use my fitness pal app, like 8-9 videos.
You should run it the same as I run my BKF online program, which is, it's all designed in one PDF that they get as a download. So all those videos are in one place. And then I set up the coaching element through Facebook, and those that aren't on Facebook set up dummy accounts that I add them to, and they delete their Facebook at the end of 6 weeks.
Okay.
That's what I would literally do that. Okay. Exactly. Okay. It works amazingly well. Takes a while to get right, because you got to drive the traffic to it and the marketing, but that's the system. That's the tactic.
And in the Facebook group, I had one before, like I ran it like a free 30-day trial, and like, there was a good few 30, 40 in it. But then the videos were getting lost in it. So I was,
that's why they go into a PDF in one single place. Yeah. Where this is what people get when they sign up. Like, you may be customizing it as the weeks go on for people, but there are certain videos that don't need to be, they're like set across the board. You should put them in one place, put them into YouTube, put them as unlisted videos, put them into a PDF of some sort, and then send them to everybody that signs up to your program. Because when you do that, if you've answered the same question more than 5 times, you need to automate it.
Yeah.
That's So I do with all my programs. That's why my programs take very little front-end work. It's why I can focus so heavily on the coaching, because I've answered every question. Any question that's came back to me five times, I'm like, right, I need to make a video for that, or I need to automate that in some way. So that's your feedback. People do, they don't. Like, I've seen trainers I've worked with that are like sending the same text message, the same message over and over again. I'm like, you need to automate that. I'm like, if you've done it more than five times, you need to automate it, because it needs to free up thinking time to do something else. But yeah, that's for sure how I would, some variation of that. You will need to tweak it, yeah. But a variation of that, like as a like what you want to do as someone, as a business owner, a personal trainer, etc., is you want to make your life easier. Like, you have to make your life easier. You either, and this is my message and the people that connect with this, is I'm like, you optimize your time and you work the same amount of hours you're working now, but you earn significantly more, or you reduce back the amount of time you're working and you earn the same you're earning now. I'm like, they're my two shticks that I'm like, pick. I'm like, design your business so you can pick. So you either work, whatever, 15, 20 hours a week and earn shit, you know, earn the same you're earning now, or you work your 40, 50 hours a week, but you're getting paid significantly well to do it. Like, I don't have a problem with either. Some people like working less and spend time with their kids, spend time with their partner, do their hobbies, compete, whatever it is that they do. Or, and some people like working 50, 60 hours a week and earning 140 grand a year. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Pick what you want, but don't do the combination of the two, which is what I see a lot of trainers do, where they work 40, 50 hours a week and they're earning, you know, 30 grand a year. I'm like, fuck that. That's just down to not having systems. You get burnt out, which means that if you're burnt out as a trainer, you're not going to be able to help that many people. And the less people you help, the less revenue you'll make. And then you'll end up going back working a real job, which is what happens to a lot of people, where they've either done that because their business has collapsed from under them because they got burnt out and retired and their service got shit, or they get so fed up of being overworked that they go, it's just easier to get a real job. That's what happens to people. And I've seen it time and time again. And I get it. It's coming from a teaching background. Mm. I get that, because I've fallen victim to it, where like, you always have this thought process and you haven't got it yet, but you will. When you make your first 6 months jump, you'll remember this from probably January. You always have that thought in your back of your head where you're grinding and grinding and grinding. You're up early, you're up late, you're the whole lot. You're like, maybe I'll just get a job again. Like, maybe I'll just get a job. It'd be just so much easier to work 9 to 5. And it's like, that comes back to choosing your suffering. Like, it's cool, you can do that, but then you're working a 9 to 5 for somebody else. Your upside's capped. I'm like, and I get that feeling, because everyone's had that. I've had it myself, when you feel overworked, but it's up to you now to level up. Like, you have a problem now that you need to fix. So fix that problem, or else you are going to go back working 9 to 5. That's why so many trainers don't last past 18 months. They do their first 6 months, then they struggle for a year, and then they go back working a real job after 18 months. That happens to so many, and it doesn't need to. It only happens for one of those two reasons. They get burnt out, and that burnt out leads to no clients because the service suffers, or that burnout leads to being physically burned out, where it just seems easier to get a real job, and then you're right back where you started, which is ironic, because when you're doing a job you love and you're passionate about it and you know yourself, speaking to both of you, you both know it's what you want to do, but it still doesn't take away from the fact you can get burned out and overwhelmed. So guarding against that is really, really important. So just kind of keep that in mind. But that's why I like online, because it stops that happening. You can scale those systems and you can design that. Like, online gives you that benefit, but there's pros and cons. The disadvantage to online is it's a very crowded space and there's no barrier to entry. Anybody who's got a fucking set of tits and a good ass, or anyone that's got abs and a pretty face, can be an online trainer. There's no barrier to entry. Where there is with, say, even one-to-one person training, you need to be certified and insured. So there's at least a little bit more of a barrier. So you have to keep that in mind when you're trying to move online. That's why niching, that's why I'm so big on niching. It's so important, because it's very difficult to rise above the noise if your message is the same as everybody else's. You know, my GA program gave me a lot of initial scope on that. And then the online program was just being consistent with, we'll adapt the nutrition, because I can't give somebody a one-size-fits-all training program and nutritional plan. I can't. I'm like, it won't work. Mm-hmm. Like, because I could set that program for scale, sell it for 50 quid, 100 quid, and just drive traffic to it. I'm like, it'll work for some. But I'm like, I know nutrition needs to be adapted, more so than training. Nutrition needs to be adapted to people for long-term sustainability on a program. So I can't in good conscience just set and forget that program. So that's why I don't. So it's reverse engineering you as well, and what you know works. So yeah, hopefully that. I can't even remember the fucking original question.
I'd be the same with the online, with the pre and postnatal, because postpartum women have different considerations, different injuries to cope with, different rates of recovery and stuff. Yeah. Even in the classes, I only keep the classes at 6 women because everyone is so individual and I have to be able to modify as we go along. So even the online is kind of, how would you even go about that in that kind of way?
Same idea. Yeah. Exact same. Like, it's trial and error. Like, online is very difficult because people forget. Do you remember the first one-to-one client you took? You're like, what the fuck am I doing? Online is the exact same. And now when you take a one-to-one client, it's just your job. It's just what you do. You don't really think about it. Online is the same. It's testing out how to do it. There's so many ways to move online. You design bespoke and you do Skype, WhatsApp calls, bespoke, where you charge a higher price and you work individually with one person. You do semi-scaled, where you're working with a small group of people at a moderate price, but it's not as customized. Or you do a one-size-fits-all, set and forget, where you might have a coaching element if you decide to. And they're just three options. It's unlimited how to make revenue online. There's other revenue streams you can utilize, but that's how you coach online. And then it's about finding the sweet spot between what you want to do with what makes sense right now. Like a scaled €20 glute guide for pre or postnatal, a scaled lose body weight or lose weight program doesn't make sense online if you've got 500 followers. It's difficult to sell, because that would mean you need to sell 500 of them at €20 to really make a good revenue out of it. But if you've got 50,000 followers, that's not a bad way to go. Whereas I'm a bigger fan of, like, customize it, charge a significantly higher price, build in the consultation element where you're on Skype calls and WhatsApp calls, etc. But people pay for that. Like, the closer you are to the person, the coach, the higher the premium of price. That's why my seminars are €250, because there's 20 people in a room. But my full day is €1,200 because it's one-to-one, and that's what my time is worth to me. And you pay more the closer you get. When I was online as a trainer, I used to just charge €500 a month because it was specific to me. And I just used to work with like 4 people because I was working one-to-one. Like, I left one-to-one PT at €100 an hour. So I was making a lot of money on one-to-one. And I had the option where I didn't need the money from online. I could charge a higher price and just work with 4 people. And I would just rinse and repeat that. When, you know, most people worked with me for 2 or 3 months, then they'd rotate off and somebody else would come in. And that's just how you want to build your business. That's literally getting clear on the business model and working to that model. It's the same as anything. Like, how do you get in shape? You figure out what kind of diet do you need to follow? What kind of training program do you need to do? What supplements would help that? Your business is the same. How do I build an online business? What do I need to do marketing-wise? How should I advertise this? What service should I have? It's the same. Your training, nutrition, and supplements for getting in shape is replaced with marketing, advertising, and service. It's the same thing. You know?
When you started to become more popular as a trainer and getting busier and busier and busier, how did you juggle? Because I know you played sport at a decent level, like kind of playing amateur sport at a half decent level. Like, how did you find juggling both, or did you give up completely?
I bumped up my price and worked with less.
Did you find that you found it hard to juggle both, or did you have a cut off point and just that was your times?
I had, if you remember the seminar, I spoke about this. You need to identify where your sweet spot is at work. So mine was 30 hours a week. I could do 5 days a week at 6 sessions, and those sessions were good one-to-one sessions. I was like, any more, I felt tired. Any less, I felt like I could take more. So 30 sessions a week was my sweet spot. That meant when I had more people, supply and demand, when I had more people come and ask me about one-to-one training and I was full, my price went up. That's why my price went from €50 an hour, €75 an hour, €80 an hour, to €100 an hour. It was supply and demand. So what I did, similar to what I mentioned earlier, I decided to work with less people at €100 an hour. And then I used to work with like 3 clients a day, and then I did my bodybuilding prep on the side because I was competing at that time. So I'm like, fuck, I want to work with people because I love what I'm doing, but I also don't have the energy for prep. So I would just take 3 sessions a day. That was £300. And then I had a trainer who was half that price and he covered the rest of it. So I just built a business that allowed me to do that. And then when it got to the point where I wanted to leave one-to-one, I moved all of my one-to-one clients into my trainer at the time. I had a revenue stream coming from him, and then I moved online. And then I had a fallback that I didn't need to make the online work straight away because I had a revenue stream coming in. That's why I like teaching. This is the real job equivalent. It gives you can take risks.
Yeah.
Because you have an income stream coming in, paying the bills, etc. So I didn't find the struggle, and I would generally advise you and anybody else who's struggling with the time for playing a sport, for family, kids, etc. You need better systems. You need better systems built in place. You need to establish what your... There's a period, and don't get me wrong, I never want this to get lost. There's a period where you just got to shut up and grind. Like, there's a grinding period where you're just going to work your fucking face off, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're putting in your dues. But if you've been doing that for 2 years, there's a problem in your business with your system. If you've been doing it for, I'd go as far to say even after a year, year and a half, there's probably a problem in your system, but definitely after fucking two and more. What I would advise now, get clear on how many hours a week you want to work, fit those amount of people in, then get better at lead generation through social media, through referrals, through one-to-one, whatever it is, and then your price increases based on the supply and demand. And then you work your 30 hours a week, you have a good revenue stream, and then you have the other whatever amount of hours to play sport, etc. I didn't struggle because I identified it pretty quickly that I wanted to do two things. So I set up an alternative revenue stream. It's one of the reasons I brought in another physical trainer at the time, and I increased my price. And the same, the reason my 100 euro an hour price went up so high was because I was only taking 3 sessions a day, you know, as opposed to 6. So that meant that also I had my marketing dialed in for people who could afford that. You know, also, and I had it wrapped in a package. You know, I wasn't selling 100 euro per hour. I was selling 500 euro for 5 sessions wrapped in a package on repeat. So the mental accounting was different to 100 euro an hour, because that's quite expensive for a personal trainer. And I was in Galway City. It was 4 times the price of the next trainer in the gym. So that's considerably high. But my leads weren't coming from the gym. My leads were coming from online. They were coming from business referrals. So that made it easier. But I would advise, if you're struggling with that time, find your set point. It might only be 20 sessions a week. And alternatively, you look at the things that give you the best bang for your buck. Classes are a great way to earn a lot of revenue per hour and help a lot of people and serve a lot of people in one go. Like, if you've got, whatever, 10 people in a class, 10 quid pay as you go, that's 100 euro for the hour, minus whatever you pay to rent the space. You might clear 70, 80 quid an hour, which might be twice or three times your one-to-one PT rate. Double down on the things that are higher revenue generating parts of your business, and that will make a lot of sense. Deadly. Well, we're at the hour, so as I said, a massive thank you to both of you for coming at like short notice, like literally it was a few hours ago. Tell everybody listening, where's the best place to find you online, pre and postnatal, weight loss, female, male fat loss, etc. Tell everybody where they can find you online and where they can find out more about you, and I'll link that in the show notes in the description as well.
Well, I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Your Mama Strength. And that's where you'll find me.
I'm on Facebook as Darren Kavanagh and Instagram as Darkav Coach. And we also have the Calorie Chamber if anyone wants to try it out, which is a heated class.
Remind everyone where you're both based.
So I'm based in
Coolock. Soon to be online, I'm sure.
Both yeah, online, fully yeah, online. Yeah. We're based in Coolock, just up by the Astro Park there.
Deadly.
I'm just North Dublin, just off the M50 at Exit 5.
There you go. So anybody that's in those areas that needs trainers, anything you liked here, I recommend hitting both of these people up. And thank you both again. Thank you all for listening. Catch you all soon.